last night. The Carolina Hurricanes' extra few days of rest proved vital in their dominant win over the New Jersey Devils in game one of their second round series, which saw the Hurricanes have multiple guys step up to the plate to push the Hurricanes to victory. We'll talk about all of that in this episode of Locked On Hurricanes.
Your Locked On Hurricanes, your daily podcast on the Carolina Hurricanes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Caniacs. I'm your host, Jared Ellis, and you're listening to Locked On Hurricanes on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And as always, thank you for making Locked On Hurricanes your first listen of this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at @LO_Hurricanes, myself on Twitter at @JaredEllis_96, and subscribe to the show over on YouTube. Now, the Carolina Hurricanes kicked off their second round series against the New Jersey Devils last night. And a question heading into that series is whether or not the rest that they had between their first round series over the Islanders into this series, if those extra few days of rest would help them out. And it absolutely did. The Devils were coming off a grueling 7-game series against the Rangers, and they had just played 2 days prior to this series. So the Hurricanes were rested up, and that definitely proved to be a very, very big help because they ended up coming away with the 5-1 win. And it was really evident as the game started off because the hot start that the Hurricanes had was pretty darn impressive. And you could tell that they really had the Devils on their heels. The Hurricanes ended up scoring 3 times in just the first almost 22 minutes, 21 minutes and 55 seconds. And that was with 2 goals in the first period. And speaking of the first period, that is where the Hurricanes limited the Devils to just one shot. Just one shot. That is tied for the fewest shots allowed in Hurricanes franchise history, with the other one coming against the Washington Capitals in Game 3 back in 2019. And this was the start that the Hurricanes needed. They proved that, hey, they're here, they're ready to go. And I think that the Hurricanes with this start is really, they're really setting the tone for this series. Again, their defense was absolutely suffocating the Devils that first period, especially to the point where whenever the Hurricanes end up scoring their third goal, Jesper Kotkaniemi's goal, just barely into the second period, the Devils ended up making a goalie change. And when that was done, I was like, oh, they got them rattled. They're ready to go. And I think that that was really the Hurricanes' playoff experience was really showing in this game, because, you know, they've been here before. They know what it takes to win in the playoffs. A hot start like that is key. That really set the tone, and it gave the Hurricanes the momentum for the large majority of this game, with really the only time New Jersey, I feel, really ever had a chance to really come back was right after they made their goalie change. And they had about 10 or so minute stretch where they were really pushing, really playing the Hurricane stuff. And we expected that. And it felt with that, you know, the Devils were obviously able to net a goal in that stretch there. But that stretch that the Devils had of making a push, it really seemed to light a fire under the Hurricanes. Like, oh, okay, you know, because in the past, we've seen where the Hurricanes, they have a start like this, and then they kind of set back and coast a little bit. We saw that earlier in the regular season against the Wild, where they were up, I think, like 2-0 for the large majority of the game. And then they stepped back, and then the Wild ended up coming back and winning that game in overtime. So with that push there, I think that really kind of snapped the Hurricanes back into it, and we ended up seeing the Hurricanes net another even strength goal in the third period. That was Brady Shea's, and then of course the empty netter at the very end. And a big thing for me with this game was looking at the goal scorers themselves. You had Brett Pesce, Seth Jarvis, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, Brady Shea, and then Jesper Foss with the empty netter. Those are guys with a large majority, Shea and Kotkaniemi especially, guys that I pegged to need to step up in this series and just the playoffs in general now, because we needed them with as many guys as we are down. And to see them show up on the score sheet, and not just on the score sheet, being goal scorers, that's great. That is absolutely fantastic. I said that both of those guys just felt like they're knocking on the door at the end of that Islander series, and that they were due for some goals. And to see them, you know, come out in this game and play a vital role in the Hurricanes getting over the Devils in game one, that was really, really important for me. And I do hope that they're able to continue this momentum that they are building. These guys are, again, guys we need to step up. The Hurricanes played a really good team game for the most part. Again, Brett Pesce, Seth Jarvis, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, Brady Shea, and Jesper Foss. Guys from all over the ice. It's not just the forwards. It's not just the defensemen. It's everyone stepping up and playing a full team game here in game one. And that was really key for the Hurricanes to get the win. And that's going to be something they need to do on Friday in game two. Play a full team game, with really the only area for improvement being, big surprise, the power play. And we'll talk about more with the power play later, because one thing I do want to talk about is the Hurricanes blue line. And because the offense ran through it so much in the regular season, for it to have kind of stagnated and been a bit of a non-factor when it comes to the offensive side of things, it was nice to see it really show up in this game. And with it being, with one of the guys being one of the ones who did a lot of the load, carried a big part of that load in the regular season with Brady Shea. So that was very, very important. Brett Pesce as well, not a guy where you really expect him to be scoring a whole lot of goals. So for him to be opening up the scoring for the Hurricanes at 9:41 of the first period, that was really, really good. Again, it's not just Sebastian Aho. It's not just Seth Jarvis. The guys where you expect them to be doing this, it's not just them. And that's going to be key for the Hurricanes moving forward. And we will continue to talk about the Hurricanes blue line offense, as well as Frederik Andersen and his performance so far in the playoffs, right after this quick break, folks. Now, if you are looking for a delicious snack, but don't want to worry about all the sugars and calories, then you need to, the best tasting protein bar ever, Built. You got to try this. If you're like me and you want a healthier snack choices, but don't want to compromise on taste, I've got just the thing for you. Built bars are amazing, and Built bar puffs are just the same. Built bars are healthy and taste amazing. They are the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And you got to be asking, if, especially if you're new here, what makes Built bars so good? Well, they are covered in 100% real dark chocolate. That's right, real chocolate, no fake stuff here. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, my personal favorite, peanut butter brownie, and cookies and cream. And they have something for everyone. And I'm not sure how they do it, but not only do they make their protein bars taste so good, they only have 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And if you don't want to wait, you can go to your local Walmart or Sam's Club and get your specialty flavors there and get your boxes there. And if you want some specialty flavors, you can go over to built.com right now. And if you're at close to the Sam's Club, they have a 13 bar box with the brownie batter puff and churro puff. Those are some of my favorite flavors, and I just ran out, and I am probably going to need to go back to Sam's Club on my day off this weekend so I can restock. So make sure you are heading over to your local Walmart, your local Sam's Club, or if you don't see any flavors you like there, go to built.com and order yourself some Built Bars. Now, getting back into this series against the Devils, the Hurricanes blue line, that was a very big question mark heading into this series for me, because in that first round, Jacob Slavin was the only guy from the Hurricanes defensive core to net a goal. And yeah, they were able to come away with the win in that series, but that isn't something that can necessarily sustain going forward in this round, the next, and then the final round in the Stanley Cup final. That's not something that it's going to work there with as depleted as they are in their forward group. They need their blue liners to step off offensively because they carried such a big load in the regular season. We've talked about it today already. We've talked about it many times over the course of the season. And, you know, I don't want them to do all of the work because that's not sustainable, but they do need to step up here, especially with no Max Pacioretty, no Teuvo Teräväinen, no Andre Svechkov. We need these guys to be stepping up. So for Brady Shea and Brett Pesce, you know, Brady Shea especially being guys that carried a big load offensively in the regular season, for them to step up here, that was really, really big for the Hurricanes. He didn't show up on the score sheet, but Brent Burns, he had a really good game as well. And he's another guy that going forward in this series and beyond, we're going to need him offensively as well. He had 5 assists in that first round series against the Islanders. So we're going to want to see that continue. But when you have a game like this, where you're having multiple guys step up to the plate, you're not having to have, you know, him, you know, carry such a big load. You know, other guys can, you know, factor in on stuff, and that's really good. And another thing with this is the fact that the Devils, you know, they had just one shot, or excuse me, I was totally skipping ahead in my notes. But with the Devils, they had limited the Hurricanes to just one goal during the regular season from their blue line. And that was really, really big for the Hurricanes. I lost my place in my notes, folks. But for them to have limited the Hurricanes blue line so much in the regular season, where they didn't allow a goal, you know, from the Hurricanes blue liners in the regular season, for them to have given up these two here, that's could be nothing. It could just be a hiccup for them, but also, again, the Hurricanes playoff experience, that is going to be really, that's going to be a big factor, and it showed in this first round. It felt like, you know, the Hurricanes, you know, like I said, their rest, they were able to come out, be ready to go right at the get-go. They're taking advantage of how the Devils just had that 7-game series against the Rangers. That was really, really big. And again, the Hurricanes blue liners being able to step up big time here. But another guy who was able to step up big was the Hurricanes goalie, Frederik Andersen. Yeah, he ended up getting the start last night, as I kind of figured he would, since he's now, you know, 100% ready to go. He's the number one guy. I kind of figured he would get the start here. So, you know, with Freddie, you know, he only allowed, you know, the one goal in this game. He didn't have to do a whole lot of work here tonight. You know, he made, I believe it was just 18 saves, I believe it was. And he didn't have to do a whole lot of work, especially in the first period, obviously, only having to make one stop there. So for him to be having such a good playoff so far, game 6, game 1, you know, so far, he's, you know, 2-0, you know, in the playoffs. He's allowed just 2 goals in 126 minutes, has a 0.95 goals against and a .962 save percentage. He's playing really, really good hockey here. And I feel that, you know, will we see the alternating goalies that were kind of hinted at heading into this series? Do we see Raanta in game two? Do we see Freddie again? I don't know. I personally, if it was me, I would probably just continue to go with Freddie here, or at least in game two, you know, because he's not giving you a reason not to. That's the thing. It wasn't like, you know, the Devils, yeah, in the second period where they had to make their goalie change. It wasn't like that. He's not playing bad. But on the flip side, you do want to make sure he stays healthy. You know, with injuries having been an issue this season, you know, if sitting him for an extra game is good, then do it. Antti Raanta, you know, he's had his time to sit and rest after making five straight starts, you know, to start that first round series against the Islanders. You know, he played really good hockey there as well. So neither of these guys, you know, are giving you a reason to not play them. And that's a good thing. You know, it's not like you're like, oh God, you know, Freddie's hurt. We got to throw Raanta in. God, and then you're just like, oh God, you know, it's not like that. You know, both guys are playing really good hockey here. And that's going to be something that really carries the Hurricanes as well, is their goaltending. They got two goalies that are playing really, really good hockey. And that's going to be key in game two, in game three, in game four, five, six, seven, however many games this series goes, for these guys to continue to play at such a high level. It's going to be really important, especially when you inevitably have games where offense is struggling, you know, and you know, they're going to have to make, you know, some big saves. And I fully expect, you know, when we go up to New Jersey for games three and four, that the Devils are going to play pretty mad. They're going to be playing to defend their house, essentially. And yeah, I'm fully expecting the Devils to come back in game two and be pretty darn aggressive. I don't expect a repeat of game one at all. I don't expect that at all. But one area that I do feel needs to improve is the power play. Big surprise there. Yeah, that was kind of the one knock that Carolina had in this game one. And we will dive into just what I feel the Hurricanes need to do with the power play heading forward in game two right after this quick break, folks. Now, diving into the power play, this is the one thing that I felt the Hurricanes had going against them in this series, or in game one. The Hurricanes went 0 for 3 on the power play, and 5 for 28 throughout the playoffs, 17.9% success rate in the playoffs so far. Now, the second power play, if I remember correctly, that was the one that looked like a threat. And I'm fine with that, you know, and because that's been a big gripe of mine this season, that so often the power play just doesn't even look like a threat. It's essentially been a bathroom break. And, you know, that wasn't the case with all of the power play opportunities here that the Hurricanes had. But I do feel that the Hurricanes, they need to improve here. Whether it's some short sort of shakeups on the power play units or what, they've got to get this going, because game two is not going to be like this. Game three, game four, five, six, seven, they're not going to be like this right here, where you can come out of the gate swinging, ready to go, have them on their heels for the large majority of the game. It's not always going to happen. So the Hurricanes need to be able to take advantage of the power play opportunities that they do get. And, you know, because you look at that first round series against Islanders, it was very hit and miss. You would have a game where they have multiple power play goals, and you have the next where it's a total non-factor. So the Hurricanes power play really, really needs to step up. I kind of feel we've exhausted every option to get it to work throughout the course of the regular season. So at this point, I don't even know what to do with it at this point because, you know, you are missing some key guys there. You know, it's Fetch, Pacioretty, Tavo. Yeah, you're missing those guys. Guys that normally wouldn't be on the power play or on the power play. So I do feel that they need to really get something going here fast. I feel that, you know, I'm sure they are, but, you know, in practice, you know, spend some more time, you know, on the power play because it's got to work. It's got to work against the Devils. It has got to work. It's got to work if the Hurricanes make it to the conference final, whether playing Florida or Toronto, it's got to work there. If they make it to the Stanley Cup final, whoever they play there, it's got to work there. It cannot continue to be such a non-factor. You cannot, even strength has been the Hurricanes' bread and butter offensively for the large majority of the season. Yeah, they led the league in shorthanded goals, but you know those are shorthanded goals. You can't always rely on those either. Even strength, it needs to be good, but you know, your power play, it needs to show up. And that's been an issue. It's just not showing up. Aside from that one, power play where, you know, it looked like a threat. Like, come on now. Like, they have really got to get this going in game two and beyond. It's got to work. It's got to. And, you know, if nothing else, it's got to look like a threat and be able to give yourself some momentum heading back into even strength play. It's got to happen, guys. It's got to happen. It's not sustainable. Again, I know you're not going to get a power play goal every single game. We all know that. But again, when it is such a non-factor so many times, when they go on the power play, I just kind of like, oh God, you know, here's another wasted 2 minutes. You know, when you have that mindset, it's not good. And they really need to work at improving that. One thing that doesn't need to improve is, of course, the penalty kill. Penalty kill was still stellar in game one. It ended up going 2-for-2 and continues to be absolutely fantastic. And that's the one thing where the Hurricanes, you know, have got to be on their A game. That was something, you know, Trey said, you know, when we were previewing this series, that, you know, the Devils, you know, when they go on the power play, they've got to be on their A game because the Hurricanes penalty kill is so good. And that needs to continue. Whatever they're doing there, they're doing it well. That's pretty evident there with the penalty killing. So if they can continue doing what they're doing there, that would be awesome. That'd be absolutely fantastic. But power play has definitely, definitely got to improve. That's really the one knock that we had on the team here in game one. They played a near perfect team game with the one thing being the power play. Now, heading into game two, I think it's going to be a totally different beast from game one. I think the Devils are going to come out pretty mad from getting embarrassed in game one. I think that's going to happen for sure because they're going to look at that like, we got embarrassed. You know, we had to make a goalie change at the start of the second period. You know, and I don't think that they're going to take kindly to that. I definitely think, the Hurricanes played really fast, really physical in game one. I think the Islanders are going to, the Devils are really going to ramp it up in this game too. I think they're going to, are they going to play like the Islanders and take some cheap, dirty shots and all that? No, I don't think so. But I do think they are going to ramp up their speed a bit. They're going to ramp up their physicality, and they're going to play mad, plain and simple. They're going to play mad, and they're going to be looking for revenge for how they got embarrassed in game one. You know, I feel like, you know, a lot of folks, you know, kind of wrote the Devils off in the first round against the Rangers. They came back, won that series, and I do feel that, you know, I don't feel like heading into the series, folks were writing the Devils off, but I do feel like kind of after game one, a lot of folks are kind of writing them off. Like, okay, yeah, they're clearly outmatched. And I don't think that's the case. I think the Devils are not a team that you need to take lightly. They're a team you need to take serious. They're a very good team. they were on the Hurricanes' heels all regular season. They were able to beat the Rangers in the playoffs. The Hurricanes did not do last year. We were wanting the Devils because didn't feel that we could beat the Rangers in the playoffs. You know, so this is the team that beat the team you didn't want to play. Not just for like the memes of, you know, all the, you know, transplants that live in Raleigh and Cary and surrounding area. Not for the memes, like, because that team is dangerous. And the team we're playing now beat them. So the Hurricanes have really got to be ready for a fight on Friday. They got to be ready. Like, it's going to be a battle. It is not going to be another 5-1 win. Plain and simple. It's not going to be. And the Hurricanes, you know, one thing I did like about this game was that they found their offense. We knew round one would be a low-scoring series. We all knew that. But, you know, we had so many offensive key pieces out. You know, sometimes it felt like, okay, you know, who's going to do what? They found it here. Again, you know, it came from all over the ice. Brett Pesce, Seth Jarvis, Jesper Kotkaniemi, Brady Shea, Jesper Foss. And that's not even taking into account all the guys who netted assists. Jordan Staal, Jordan Martinook, Jesper Foss, Sebastian Aho, Steph Nazan, Jordan Martinook, again, Jordan Staal, again. Those are guys, like, it's coming from everywhere. Guys are stepping up, and that's going to need to continue in game two. Sebastian Aho, he's on a 4-game point streak now, you know, between his goals and assists. Jordan Martinook and Jordan Staal having multi-assist games. That's going to be big. The guys are stepping up big time, and that's what you need at this point of the season. You know, guys that, you know, you need guys to step up, and that's got to continue. We're going to need these guys here that we just talked about. We need that to continue into game two. Guys that, you know, we didn't talk about, but, you know, did play factors, you know, in this game. You know, Brent Burns. Yeah, he didn't show up on the score sheet, but, you know, he played a good game, in my opinion. And, you know, talk about, Trey's talking about, you know, how guys like that brought, you know, physicality and grit to the Devils. Brent Burns doing the same here with the Hurricanes. He brought a level of physicality and grit to the team, and that has continued. And I want that to continue into game two. Now, like in the Islander series, because the Devils are going to be playing very angry, I could see them trying to get under the Hurricanes' skin, get in their heads. And that's where the Hurricanes are going to need to be the veteran team of just ignoring it, playing between the whistles, don't get involved in anything after. And that's going to be really important. Yes, you know, sometimes you get caught up in the moment and you're like, yeah, you know, drop the gloves, you know, kick his butt, you know, all that stuff. And, well, yeah, it definitely pops the crowd and, you know, can provide a spark for the team. I'm not saying it can't, because we've seen it in the past where, you know, Hurricanes win a fight, that momentum carries over, you know, and, you know, leads to a goal. You know, we've seen that before, but we've also seen it on the flip side of that too. So the Hurricanes do need to be smart, pick their battles, and don't let the Devils get under their skin. If they can do all that, you know, I think game two can definitely be another win, but it's going to be a heck of a lot tougher than game one. That is for sure. And we'll talk about game two tomorrow. So make sure you are following the show on Twitter and Instagram at @LO_Hurricanes. Myself on Twitter at @JaredEllison_96. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube. Enjoy this game one win, folks. Make sure if you're going to game two, you have fun with that as well. And I will talk to you guys then. And as always, let's go, Canes.